Hello, Nerdy Legion. We have a show for you today, right here on Comic Talk Today. This is the Comic Talk Headlines, as brought to you by me, Dustin. And yeah, you can find my generally nerdy stuff everywhere on the internets. Let's get into the news, shall we? Let's talk about TV streaming before my battery dies and I gotta switch it out. So TV streaming, we've got follow-ups and corrections, baby. First, we are talking about Umbrella Academy. This is a follow-up, premieres today. So if you don't have Netflix, what are you doing? Go get it and watch your Umbrella Academy, because again, one of the greatest comic book adaptations on TV streaming. And then the other one is Truth Seekers. So this is a correction, because when I originally talked about it from Comic-Con at home at the beginning of the week, I had it listed as a movie, and that is not the case. It is a series. This is going to be a supernatural horror comedy series from Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Yeah, man, it makes me so much more excited for it. I'm not even going to lie. So that's what we have for follow-ups and corrections. Now let's talk about the news. First up in actual news for TV streaming, we're talking about Splinter Cell. Netflix has reportedly ordered straight to series two seasons of Splinter Cell, the animated series. Really interesting in that it's going to be animated and it's Splinter Cell. So that's already pretty awesome to begin with. But on top of that, we have writer Derek Kolstad is going to be showrunner and producer and director, presumably, for this show. And why is that name significant? It's because he wrote all three John Wick movies. So we'll be interesting to see how that experience translates into something very different, because Splinter Cell is very much covert ops and John Wick was kind of the opposite. So yeah, again, very interested to see what comes out of this partnership, and it's animated on top of that. So who the animation style is going to be from, any of all that news, we're going to be talking about it, keeping tabs on it as more comes out. But that's all we've got now, so we're moving on. Next, we're talking about Green Hornet. Kevin Smith has struck another deal for another series. The rights owner for Green Hornet is a company called Wild Brain. That's who owns the actual rights, the property, but who owns the distribution rights, I still am not entirely sure. Green Hornet, the Seth Rogen movie, is up on Netflix, so maybe they still have a deal with Netflix, so this will be another Kevin Smith series on Netflix. It is going to be live action. It's going to be animated. I can read. It's going to be animated. And it's going to be obviously based on the Green Hornet, but it's not going to be the Green Hornet that we already know and love. This is going to be kind of a similar situation to Kevin Smith's Green Hornet run in comic books not too long ago, in that it's going to be the son of the original Green Hornet and the daughter of Kato. So, yeah, very, very interesting. I know I use that word a lot, but whatever. Yeah, super. Just the strangeness of all that. I don't know. There's a lot about that I feel like is a little weird. So I will be keeping tabs on it as more develops. But that's all we've got. Again, moving on. Next, we're talking about the Emmys. If you still care about such things, I will link below to a complete list of the nominees for this year's Emmy Awards. Rambling. Moving on. And then our final piece of TV news, it has to do with Nine Lives of Ozzy, the biography that's going to be out on A&E very soon. The official release date is Monday, September 7th. It will air at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, rather. So that's when it's going. If you don't know already, because we haven't talked about it, because I honestly just learned about this between filmings, the episode at the beginning of the week and now. It's a biography about Ozzy Osbourne. It's about his life. It is being produced by Osbourne Productions, so Sharon and Ozzy themselves have a very strong hand in the development of this biography. It's going to be 2 episodes, I believe is what it said. Or no, it's 2 hours long, rather. Sorry. 2 hours long. And I feel like it's going to be a little glossy because, again, Osborne Productions do have a very large hand in the making of this documentary. But it'll still be really awesome to see how crazy Ozzy's life really was, at least according to them. So that is where we are for TV streaming. Now we are getting into movies, and we do have a couple, or a single follow-up, rather, for movies. The Train to Busan sequel is called Peninsula. We know this. That is coming to American theaters. The release date was just given. August 21st is going to be the magical day, assuming we're open still and or by then. So, yeah, that's what we have for follow-ups. It's just that little bit about Peninsula. And then we're talking about news, and we have another documentary to be talking about. This time it is about Ren and Stimpy. Even in light of creator, I'm going to have to really butcher his name because I've never known how to pronounce this guy's last name. John Crickfalusi. John Crickfalusi. Even in light of all of the horrible things he's been alleged of doing in recent months and years, they're still doing this documentary, which is kind of awesome because it's great to do. It's the documentary is about the piece of art. It is not about the man. Though, if you watch the teaser, the trailer down low, then you will see that it is touching on the negative sides of the creator's life. So you can't talk about animation without talking about the impact of Ren and Stimpy, and the impact is directly related to the man who created the show. So you have to touch on these things. So I think it's going to be really great to see what they do with that. And again, it doesn't sound like they're using kid gloves with any of this stuff. So it'd be pretty freaking awesome. As we get more details, we will be talking about it. Maybe we'll even do a review, hopefully, if I have the time. And we're moving on. Next, we're talking about the AMC NBC Universal feud that started with all of this lockdown quarantine nonsense. Just a real quick refresh on what happened. AMC movie theaters had to close for a plethora of reasons, not the least of which being that there is a very highly communicable virus floating around these days that if you're in close proximity to somebody, i.e. in a movie theater in the seat next to them, you very well could get it if they have it. So that being said, everything shut down. We know this. And then Universal started releasing movies on video on demand and not in theaters. And so AMC went, well, if this is their model going forward, then we're not going to do business with Universal, NBC Universal to be specific. Then the NBC Universal were like, well, sorry, but we want to make money too. And you guys aren't open. So what do you want us to do? You want us to lose money because you got nothing for us? That doesn't make any sense. We're going to keep doing what we do. Now it sounds like they have found some sort of middle ground, and it's a very strange middle ground. So the middle ground that they have found is that NBC Universal will release movies in theaters first, but instead of it being a 90-day window, so the minimum amount of time that you could go from a movie in the theaters to a movie in your hands or on your computer, whatever, what have you, in legal ways, not in, you know, you pirates, you. So the fastest that could happen by contract, not because they didn't have the technology or the capabilities, but by contract was 90 days previously, at least between NBC Universal and their movie theater affiliates. So that has been changed from 90 days to right about 17 days. Really specifically what the contract says is it will be 3 weekends. So go from Friday and then 3 weeks later, that next Sunday. So again, right around 17 days, depending on how you do your math, that's their window. So if presumably, because the language of the contract says that they will then have the option to release the movie on video on demand or on physical media. So presumably, if the movie's not doing well in the theaters that they release it to, then that will be reason for them to go, okay, we're going video on demand for this one. But if the movie is doing well in theaters, then presumably they will take the option to keep it in theaters. I don't know how often that's going to happen, but I would imagine it happens eventually for something major and something you must go see in the theaters. But that is the middle ground that they have reached. Who knows if other production companies are going to make this same or a similar contract with their theater affiliates. So we will be keeping tabs on this as it develops, and we're moving on. The final piece that we have about movies for this episode has to do with Batman Death in the Family, or Death of the Family. No, in. I was right. Death of is the Snyder one. Anyway, sorry. So Death in the Family is getting the DC animated movie treatment, and it sounds a little messed up, a little bit of a cluster mess. So what it is obviously it's retelling of the comic book, how we got the Red Hood, how Jason Todd may or may not have actually died, and blah, 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 blah. Spoiler alerts for a really old comic book, I guess, and also a really old animated movie, What's Under the Red Hood. The reason I bring up Under the Red Hood is because the original cast from Under the Red Hood sound, well, a chunk of it anyway, sounds like they're going to be coming back. So of the original cast, we have Bruce Greenwood, Vincent Martella, and John DiMaggio will be coming back as Batman, young Jason Todd, and the Joker, respectively. And then we have new voices from Zara Fazal as Talia al Ghul, Gary Cole as Two-Face, and James Gordon. Those two, three characters. No, Gordon was in Under the Red Hood, but whatever. Those two, the other two characters there weren't in the original Under the Red Hood story, but they are in the Death in the Family story. So the other thing that's really interesting about this is it's somehow going to be an interactive movie, and it's being released on Blu-ray and video on demand. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm very intrigued by the idea. Also in the release, they are talking about that there's going to be multiple endings. You're going to make multiple choices throughout the course of the storytelling, so you can go back and watch this a number of different ways and get a different end result and get a different movie all the way through, is the way they're painting it out. So very interested to see how that happens. And it's also, that's really notable because that's very much an homage to how the story was originally told in comic books anyway. So very excited, want to see this happen. That's all I've got. We're moving on. It's a rumor section, baby. And we've got things. One that's not going to be in the show notes, but I kind of was just talking about in comic books and books. The rumored release date for Doors of Stone is sometime next month. I believe it was like the 13th or so. So Wednesday that novels get released, or Thursday, I don't remember, but whatever, around the 13th is the rumored release of Doors of Stone from Patrick Rothfuss, the final book in the King Killer Chronicles. Well, that's debatable as well, but the next book in the King Killer Chronicles. So I couldn't remember if we covered this last week when I originally found it, but there it is again, and just in case. But the actual rumors that I have in the notes, we're first talking about Star Wars. Star Wars! Wonderful Star Wars! Beautiful Star Wars! We love you so! That's right. My girlfriend wrote that. So Star Wars, we actually have a few rumors we're going to talk about. So there is a new rumor that Lucasfilm is considering another movie in the Skywalker era that will be featuring Luke Skywalker. It is according to the rumor itself, so you can't really fault it for being just stuff that people are making up necessarily, but according to the rumor itself, this is just one of many options that Lucasfilm is looking at going forward with how they perceive they can possibly fix the Skywalker saga. I don't know if that's going to do it, but this will be Luke after Return of the Jedi, and it will be in the same continuity as The Mandalorian. So this feels very iffy. I feel like this is a 15% chance that this is legit. I just don't really buy this at all. I do think there's a slim possibility because Mandalorian is doing so well for them. Why wouldn't they try and capitalize on the other thing that did well for them initially, right? So put Luke in the same world as Mando and you have good? I don't know. I don't think that's where their head is at. But we have other rumors to talk about. So next, we are talking about two potentially related rumors. First, and much more broad, is the possibility that Lucasfilm is potentially going to open up the option for filmmakers to make R-rated Star Wars movies. No, this rumor, 0% possibility that it is going to be actualized. I really do not think, for a number of reasons, not the least of which being that George Lucas originally created Star Wars for children. So that being said, everything in the Star Wars universe has to be through that lens. To some degree. Yes, I know there have been some very adult books and video games, even adult being like very mature themes, not necessarily boobs and butts and such. So I just don't see a movie having that much gravitas coming out at all. Having enough mature rated material for it to get an R rating, maybe a PG-13 rating, because we've seen that once before. But yeah, no, I don't see R rated. No. And then the other rumor, like I said, these two are potentially closely related, is there is an Order 66 movie that is also presumably on the table in front of Disney that is reportedly going to be very quote unquote dark. So if the first rumor is true, then that gives more credence to this rumor, but I don't know if they're necessarily mutually inclusive. I think potentially Order 66 is a very interesting time in the Star Wars history, so that has more likelihood of being legit. I would say we're looking at like 25% likelihood for the Order 66 movie. Zero. I still am not convinced ever that Lucasfilm will approve of an R-rated Star Wars movie. It's just not going to happen. So we're squashing some Star Wars rumors here today on Generally Nerdy, baby. That is what we have for Star Wars. Next, we're moving over to a quick gaming rumor, and that is Halo Infinite. Halo Infinite is rumored to have a free-to-play multiplayer game. Presumably, this is going to be 343 Studios' response to Battle Royale games being free to play. They're going to just let you play Halo Infinite multiplayer for free. Maybe. I really feel like there is a pretty halfway decent chance that this is a thing because, again, we have Battle Royale games that are free to play across the board. And what is Halo multiplayer if not a smaller version of a Battle Royale? And even in the next generation could be the size of a Battle Royale. I mean, even in Master Chief Collection, there's options where you can do it's 16 against 16, I believe, is the largest you can do if memory serves. I don't play matches that large. I usually play SWAT, which is 4-on-4. So I don't really, I'm giving this one about a 30 to 35% chance of being legit because it sounds like there's a lot of sense to be made there, but it also there's not anything that 343 has come out and said, hey, we want to be developing something to compete with Battle Royale games. They kind of have their niche and they're pretty stuck in there. So I don't know, 30 to 35%. We're moving on. Next, we're talking about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. The petition that we talked about previously has like almost 200,000 signatures on it at this point. They were originally going for 100,000 and then they bumped it up to 130 and then they bumped it up to 150. And I think it's close to 190, very, very close to 190. It's been a couple of days since I looked, so I don't know. But the rumor about this one is HBO Max might actually pick it up instead of Netflix. Now, there are a couple of caveats here just from the relationship that we know that Netflix had with Disney about their Marvel shows and so on and so forth. Presumably, there is a similar contract between Warner Brothers and Netflix. So it would be, 6 years before we can see the release of something that was on Netflix then go over to it, whoever the rights revert to. So in this case, that would be Warner Brothers. But I don't know. HBO Max is very hard up for new content, so maybe they would be willing to take the chance and buy out that contract from Netflix so they can capitalize on fan demand as it is still relevant. And we do have that petition nearing 200,000 subscriptions or signatures. That seems to make a whole lot of sense. I'm giving this one about a 50-50 shot. I think there is a strong potential that this rumor could have a lot of legs. Actually. Next, we are talking about Judge Dredd, and we are squashing this rumor. This rumor is not true. Well, a very large part of this rumor. So the rumor, it comes from an interview that Jason Kingsley, who is the CEO of Rebellion, which is the company that owns the movie rights or the screen rights, I guess, for Judge Dredd. And so I'm going to read you the quote. It's a little long, so bear with me. But I want there to be a sequel. We've got the rights back, so we can do it. We've just got to get rid of this virus thing that's going on at the moment. And then hopefully things can kick off in all sorts of different areas of making film and TV. It's all very messed up at the moment for everyone. A lot of work has been done in all sorts of different scripts, actually. So Mega City 1, the TV show, basically we can't go into production because of the situation, and we've got scripts, and everything is ready to go. But the problem is, because of the situation, everyone's funding changes and everybody's shifting around. Well, if we can get people back, you know, we've even joked that it would be quite fun to get Stallone back. So what's the rumor that this squashes? Well, the rumor says that they're looking to cast Stallone. That's not what he said. You heard, I just read you verbatim what the guy said in the interview. He did not say, we are looking to cast Stallone. He said, hey, wouldn't it be funny? Like, just shooting the shit with your friends, all of a sudden somebody says, ha, wouldn't that be awesome if we could get Sylvester Stallone back? Yeah, that was said, but that doesn't mean they want to cast him. I'm sure if the opportunity arose, they would not turn it down, but they are not actively pursuing Sylvester Stallone. We do know that Carl Urban wants to come back for the Mega City 1 series, and maybe it sounds like the rumor should be that they're in development, maybe early development to some stage of another Judge Dredd movie or something along those lines. But looking to cast Stallone? No. Rumor squashed. 0% on that. We're moving on. Next, we're talking about Horizon Zero Dawn. This is not a gaming rumor. This is a movie rumor. So there's actually technically two rumors here. First of all, the Horizon Zero Dawn movie is in development. That is rumored to be true. And the second half of this rumor is that they are looking at Jennifer Lawrence to play the lead for the movie. So we're going to give two likelihoods. The likelihood that Horizon Zero Dawn is in early stages of development. Sure, 50-50, that makes sense. It's a very well-selling game. It's a very well-received game. Critics love it. Fans love it. Absolutely. Turn that into a movie franchise if you can, by all means. Jennifer Lawrence, on the other hand, that part sounds like somebody just really, really dream casting. Like, who would I want to play a main character whose primary weapon is a bow and arrow and is a strong female to boot? Well, that's already happened. It's called The Hunger Games. Go watch it. I don't think the Jennifer Lawrence angle on this one is true at all. We're going 5% because there might be something there, but even if they were looking to cast her, I don't think she would want to do that again. Futuristic, post-apocalyptic movie where the strong female protagonist that shoots a bow and arrow. She's done that. She's not the kind of person to revisit the same ground. She's moved on, so why don't we? And our final rumor has to do with Deadpool 3. This one I think we're squashing as well. So Deadpool 3, one of the ideas supposedly on the table for Marvel is that because of Deadpool's self-awareness that he is a character in a thing, that they can do whatever they want with him. So they're going to have him jump through different universes inside the MCU, and at one point he's going to come across, and in Deadpool 3 it's going to be the big villain, and that is Galactus. What are you nerds thinking? No. No, this is not. And even the rumor says it's not going to be the Galactus that we will eventually get in the MCU proper. It's just going to be a Galactus from a different universe inside of the overall multiverse for Marvel. So he's going to go up against the smoke monster from the Green Lantern? No, no, no. That's not how that works. That joke would be made, though, if that movie actually happened. Anyway, so no, this is 0% possibility. There is no likelihood in my mind that this is going to happen. Deadpool 3 will happen. It will likely be a pretty hard PG-13. It will push the boundaries of that rating, but Feige won't let it happen unless it is a PG-13. I feel like those rumors are legit. This Galactus thing, not likely. But that's what we've got for rumors. And that does it for this episode of Headlines Nerds. For a more in-depth conversation on comics and comic culture, then jump over to nerdylegion.com and find all of the other podcasts we offer on the subject. Or if you want the full news show or more nerdy action, generally speaking, then you can join me on my personal YouTube channel, Generally Nerdy. Thanks for listening, nerds, and we'll see you next time.